Read with you in 1 Timothy in chapter 1.
Our brother, Mr. David Cain, well known to us all, I'm sure.
1 Timothy chapter 1. At verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to endless fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, further down the chapter, at verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's all I intend to read, with God's blessing. We have been reminded at the beginning of the meeting about our coming, why we came, what we expect when we did come. I want to look at the issues that we should carry away, with us. The ministry that should prompt me and should lift me into this sphere that I want to look at. I want to look at the end of the commandment. Timothy's left at Ephesus, and he is there to minister the word of God, and he's been reminded of the issues of that ministry. What will it produce? What will this meeting produce? Very often, we are left discouraged, confused. I want us to look at these three subjects first of all. The end, or the issue of the commandment, and that is really the charge. The charge is love out of a pure heart. The ministry of the Word of God and every conference should leave me thinking, rejoicing in the love that I've been brought into. It should grasp my mind, it should thrill my heart. In the language of dear Mr. Blake, Son of God, the Father's treasure, he yet gave thee unto me. Angels vainly try to measure all I have in having thee. Grace so vast bewilders heaven. God to me his Son has given. Blessed Savior, thou art mine. Let us leave the meeting with something of this gripping our hearts. Love out of a pure heart, that I might feel the wonder of it. Continually, God reminds his people that they've got to go back to that beginning. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Or in that same prophecy, we read, it was a time of love that God reached down to us in wondrous grace and mercy. And we should be leaving every meeting, especially a conference meeting, with that love stirred up in my heart. The wonder of it, the greatness of it, that I've been brought into this relationship with God, that it should be a love that has to be guarded. You know, the disaster in every backslider's life is that they lose the sense and the wonder of God's love. Malachi chapter 1 at verse 2. Wherein hast thou loved us? All those 7 ejaculations that we find there, I find them very difficult that the people of God should use expressions like this. Wherein hast thou loved us? We couldn't say that, could we? We feel greatly indebted to God that he has loved us. If I lose sight of it, if I lose the wonder of it, thou hast left thy first love. But not the tragedy. In the beginning of the deterioration in the assembly at Ephesus, that they had, I'm not too sure whether that means getting back to that first love that gripped my heart at conversion. I don't know if that's the meaning of that verse. Because you, brethren, that read your Bible know that expression, it really is the chief love. Not the first love, or not the best love, but the chief love. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, is the actual word that is here. So that there are highlights in my life when the wonder and the grace and the kindness of God flooded into my soul and in yours as well. And it comes well over us in waves of wonder. Well, they had lost that. They had lost that. And God would like them to get back to it. And if they don't get back to it, it'll be disaster. So that the issue of every meeting, every ministry meeting, should be love out of a pure heart. I can exhort you to it. I can long for it in my own life. But you know that it's something that God has to stir up. It's something that in a meeting like this, all of us that take part publicly have to produce something that will leave you going out of the door feeling, it's great to be saved. I have seen people leaving conferences weeping. I have seen the hearts of the Lord's people being torn asunder. And so have you. The issue here, the end of the commandment. You all know that the end doesn't just mean the terminus. It means the goal of the exhortation. The goal of the exhortation is, first of all, love out of a pure heart. I move on to the next one. A good conscience. That is the ministry of the Word of God here in this gathering ought to produce in all of us as we leave a sense of wonder flooding our souls. The wonder of it all, that God has loved us. And that love moved him to give his Son. And that we are saved and going to heaven. That should, you know, let me say something. I'm not very good at it, but I do my best. I try to go to visit hospitals every day. I live in the city, as you know. I'm within reach of most of the hospitals, and I try to go. Mind you, I want to tell you something, dear brother, dear sister. It's very easy to become discouraged. It's very easy to feel depressed. And I would like that the ministry, as we're about to go home in 5 minutes' time, I would like us to think that it's, first of all, I've got to minister the Word of God to stir up the fire and to leave you feeling love, an undivided love, unshared, love out of a pure heart, a good conscience. That is, that conscience being stirred up that there's nothing between my soul and God. That there's a clear sky between my soul and God. And secondly, that there's nothing between me and my brethren. That's the type of ministry that will humble me, bring me down to the right size, leave me feeling I'll have to get things made right. I shouldn't let this go on and on. There are things that have to be made right. A good conscience. I would like to speak of that at this third one word, because I want to go on to the other passage that I read. I want you to think of faith without hypocrisy. Now, I don't take this to be the initial commencement of my faith. You've been hearing of some of our brethren referring to 40 years and more. I don't take this to be the initial faith. I take this to be my confidence in God day by day. The devil will attack it, and difficulties will arise. But let us think that there's such a thing as faith that's growing, growing exceedingly. What do you mean? I would like to you and I, if I could do to you what Jonathan did to David, when David was going out to the wilderness, going out to the cave of Adullam, going out to a life of loneliness. He had a ministry from Jonathan in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And it said that David strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. And that's something. That if the ministry that we've been getting and what I little have to say, if it would only leave me going out of the meetings, I'd take a grip on myself. And I'll take a grip on God. If only God will help me. That Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God. It wasn't just emotional either. He said, my father will not find thee. My father knoweth that thou wilt be king, and I shall be next unto thee. You all know, and I'm not developing it, for I'll have to pray, or some of these brethren know. You all know that Jonathan wasn't next on to David. And you can take time and look up at the 37 names that are listed of David's mighty men. And I don't know which of them was next on to David. I'm inclined to think it was the last one. There was 12 lists of 3. And after it was all over, it would seem that maybe, I don't know, I don't want to blame anything, I don't want to charge David with anything. After the list of 36 majestic names are there, there's one greater than them all. You all know it. Uriah the Hittite was the 37th. All the rest were alive. They were going in to share the kingdom with David. There was one man,
that should have been next on to David. And he wasn't there. That is, I'll leave the other subject for. I'd like to look at the charge that was left with Timothy was, first of all, to strengthen the hand of the people of God. Love out of a pure heart. A faith unfeigned. And a conscience without hypocrisy. I leave that subject. The other subject is that Timothy was left to emphasize the greatness of the gospel. The gospel of the glory of the blessed God. What a subject. I leave you to think about it. Those are the two issues that should characterize every ministry meeting. We leave it feeling something of the greatness of the love of God. We leave it with our conscience being searched and conscience without anything that needs to be made right. And faith in God, confidence increased and strengthened and helped. For mind you, I want to tell you, dear brethren, and I don't maybe need to tell you, that there's quite a lot of the devil are attacking. Time and time again, a hand has slipped out from under the sheets of many great men that I've preached with and taken my hand. And in those moments of physical weakness, they've said, do you really think I'm saved? I just want to tell you something. Nobody else doubted it. But you tell you that that's an attack from hell. Oh, let us take a grip on God. We'll leave the conference. It's difficult. In your home, it's difficult. And in your assembly, it's difficult. In your region, it's difficult. But there's a God that's greater than all the difficulties. And may the Lord bless his word.